We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking Josh Jacobs and legendary fantasy performances on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Podcast. I am Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. Happy to be recording this during a Monday night football game coming off a really exciting weekend of action in which one of our teams that Curtis and I are mutually invested in had a hell of a weekend, thanks to Josh Jacobs, who, as you noted, we're going to be talking about. So we're feeling good about that. Curtis, how are you doing?
Doing great, man. Yeah, as you mentioned, one of our two main event teams going to make it through, which feels great. This feels like I had a very mediocre year in managed high stakes this year. It feels like all of my teams were 6-5. Getting into this weekend,
yeah.
Like seriously, every team, like my FPCs, my mains, like, you know, I think I had one team that was like 3-8, and like all the rest of them are 6-5, but then, you know, highly variable in the amount of points that they had. You know, some of those 6-5 teams are like, how is this team 6-5?
Right.
And then other teams are like, how is this team 6-5?
Yeah.
Luckily one of our two that we're co-managing is, you know, looking to set up to have potentially dominant run. So I'm doing great now that you mention it. And like you said, it is on the back of Josh Jacobs that we roll into the fantasy playoffs in this FFPC format, of course, in most managed leagues. You know, we still got a couple of weeks left, Dave, but why don't you break down Jacobs' fantasy performance? And then I thought it'd be fun just for a few minutes to take a trip down memory lane and talk about some of the other legendary fantasy performances in NFL lore.
Yeah, well, this was a very impressive performance. Of course, there's the, I think it was an 84-yard touchdown rush to seal things in overtime.
What an icer. That's nuts.
Absolutely. 33 rushing attempts for Jacobs. Keep in mind, like 2 hours before the game, it wasn't even clear if he was going to suit up or not. Rushes 33 times for 229 rushing yards. That's a 6.9 yard average per attempt. Two rushing touchdowns, had 7 targets, 6 receptions, added 74 receiving yards, eclipses 300 total yards on the day with 2 touchdowns, comes out to a 48.3 point performance. On the season now, Josh Jacobs has put up a total of 242 fantasy points. He has played the same amount of games as Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and Austin Eckler, and is number 2 overall. Really, of all the running backs of consequence this year that you can look at, Josh Jacobs right now outpacing all of them with the exception of Eckler. In points per game, it has been a very impressive run for Jacobs.
Yeah, man. And this is where we segue, because as awesome of a performance as it was, and as much of a, I mean, really a league winner, league reshaper that Jacobs has turned out to be at his, you know, discount ADP. I mean, he's, you know, round six, round seven, even round eight, I think is where we got him on our main. You know, that's the type of stuff that, that tilts the season on its head. Not only his overall season long performance so far, but, you know, this type of performance in a critical juncture. But Dave, it might surprise you to learn that it's actually among non-quarterbacks, it's only the third best fantasy performance in the calendar year 2022 in an NFL regular season game. I'm curious if you can remember either of the other two performances. And it's kind of a trick because one of them was in this NFL season and one of them was in week 17 last year. So it was championship week in the new fantasy format.
All right. Well, one of them, I believe, is Alvin Kamara.
No, that was 2 years ago now.
Oh, that was 2 years ago now. Wow.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. That was Christmas Day 2020.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So last year, was it Ja'Marr Chase?
Yes, yes. Ring the bell, my friend. So on January 2nd, 2022, Ja'Marr Chase put up 55.6 PPR on the strength of 11 receptions, 266 receiving yards, and three touchdowns in fantasy, in what, you know, most leagues would have had as their fantasy championship. The other one actually was also by a Cincinnati Bengal, Dave, this season.
Oh, is it Mixon?
It was. Yeah, it was Mixon just like a month ago, man. Mixon put up 55.1. He had 153 rushing yards. So, I mean, a far cry from Josh Jacobs in his 229. But Mixon had four rushing touchdowns in the ultimate get well game because, you know, he had really underperformed based off of his opportunity to that game. And, you know, things have a way of figuring themselves out. So, you know, those are the top three performances of the calendar year 2022. But zooming out a little bit further, Dave, on the running backs, wide receivers and tight ends, Josh Jacobs in his 48.3 PPR since the year 2000 was actually just the 45th best performance. Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I thought that was pretty wild.
It seems pretty low, but then, you know, it's the year 2022 and we're including the year 2000. So we're talking almost 23 full seasons. Basically what we're saying is about two times a year, there are performances that are this big or bigger, which when you put it in that context, okay, that seems like pretty reasonable, but it still is just kind of like shocking that there were 44 other performances better than that one. I'm going to call a couple of them out just to kind of take a quick trip down memory lane. Some of these were games that, you know, helped me fall in love with fantasy football. We'll kind of go in reverse order here, though. You mentioned the Alvin Kamara game. That is like still one of that will always be one of my favorite games, man. I mean, Alvin Kamara sent my wife and I to Jamaica. Alvin Kamara installed my home gym. Alvin Kamara and his six touchdowns, baby. That was pretty crazy on Christmas Day with one red cleat and one green cleat. Another one that happened in that season just a month earlier. This actually happened on my birthday in 2020. Tyreek Hill. You remember this game? 13 receptions, 269 yards, and three touchdowns. It was the Chiefs versus Tampa. So it was Mahomes versus Brady. The Chiefs win by three on the road against Tampa, and Tyreek had like all the yards in the game. There was no stopping him. Just absolutely shredded them. What about this one? Remember CJ2K, Chris Johnson? Back in the day, were you playing fantasy when Chris Johnson was playing, Dave?
Some of those seasons, I certainly was, and I might fondly remember this game, but go ahead.
Okay, 197 rushing yards and two touchdowns, nine receptions, 87 yards, and another touchdown, 55.4. Wow. It's the 10th best fantasy performance of all time. That was a big one. What about way back in 2003? Were you playing fantasy in 2003 yet?
That might have been the year before I started, actually, because it was somewhere in that range.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been, let's see, I'm a bright-eyed sophomore year college student in 2003. And Clinton Portis, Dave, 57.4 PPR, 218 rushing yards, and 5 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, my Lord.
This is Shanahan-era Denver Broncos. And so the original Shanahan, Daddy Shanahan, and he was the OG of, you know, getting top level production out of any running back. But the thing is Clinton Portis was actually really good also playing in that system.
Yep.
That was the fourth best fantasy performance of all time. We already talked about Alvin Kamara That was the fifth best. Portis was the fourth best. We talked about Tyreek Hill at 57.9, second best. I want to see if you can name either of the top two fantasy performances since the year 2000. So one was by a former Chiefs running back in 2013.
Yeah, it's Priest Holmes,
this was a later guy. So oh, Priest wow. Holmes was.
So oh, it's Jamal Charles. And it's, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
Jamal Charles. Yes, it was Jamal Charles, man.
Yep.
So December 15th, Jamal Charles, 59.5 PPR. What was crazy about this one, Dave? Jamal Charles only had 20 rushing yards in this game. He had 20 rushing yards in a game where a running back scored 59.5 PPR. So he rushed for 20 yards and a touchdown, but he had 8 receptions for 195 yards and 4 receiving touchdowns.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Oh, it's just nuts, man. That is wild.
Yeah, like, that is really, you can see wild. Like,
to me, that feels like a Deebo Samuel line the other way. Like, the wide receiver also scores on a reverse, not a running back has that. You know, that's just crazy. And the top, you mentioned Priest Holmes. Priest Holmes litters the list of the top 100 performance of all time. He actually does come in at 8th overall.
Yep.
So that was a good name to pull there. You know, he did have a 55-point game himself. But the only non-quarterback to ever score over 60 PPR in a game since the year 2000, Dave, a former Jacksonville Jaguar wide receiver, Jimmy Smith.
This is so definitely absurd.
I mean, Dave's like going to the seventh grade dance or something in the year 2000. And Jimmy Smith is putting up 15 receptions for 291 receiving yards and 3 receiving touchdowns in a losing effort
against the Ravens. Gosh.
Yeah, the Jaguars lost this game. This is 31-year-old Jimmy Smith, by the way. This is not even like, this is late career Jimmy Smith at the Ravens, the vaunted, I mean, like, turn of the century Ravens defense, like, that was legit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the defense that helped win Trent Dilfer, you know, a Super Bowl just a year or two later after this, I think. And the Jaguars lost this game 39-36 on the road. Just crazy. 62.1 PPR by a wide receiver. But I mean, it's fun to look at this list. There's tons of names that you would expect and also some names that you wouldn't. You know, you see names like LaDainian Tomlinson all over this list. We already talked about Chris Johnson. Terrell Owens is on here a couple times. Then you see guys like Drew Bennett. Remember that name?
No.
Drew Bennett had one game ever in his whole career, man, and he had 53 PPR. He had a 233-yard receiving game with 3 touchdowns for the Titans way back in 2004. Kevin Curtis, another one of those names, back in 2007, had 221 yards and 3 touchdowns. Kevin Curtis never did much of anything else. But then, of course, you have Julio Jones on here several times. I mean, Julio had a game he was the last player actually before Josh Jacobs to post more than 300 yards from scrimmage in a single game, Dave, before this past weekend, about 5 or 6 years ago, which was pretty cool. And, you know, just to put a little bit of icing on this whole topic from a non-fantasy perspective, just kind of framing up how good Josh Jacobs' game was.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, But Greg doesn't have the athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He's only the 11th player in NFL history to amass 300 plus yards from scrimmage in a game. So that's not since the year 2000, all NFL all history.
Wow.
Okay. Some of the other names that are ahead of him, would include the guy he's tied for eighth most in a game. So he actually had 303 yards in this game on Sunday. That ties him for eighth most all time in a single game with Jim Benton from 1945. Okay. Different game, obviously. Wow. The record for yards from scrimmage in a game is 336 by Flipper Anderson of the Los Angeles Rams back in 1989. Yeah, good old Flip. I was in kindergarten that year. And then I already mentioned the last time, 2016 was the last time that this happened, and it was Julio Jones. So, man, bravo, Josh Jacobs. You are doing pending free agency year the right way, my friend.
You know what? The other crazy thing about this too is just the Raiders backfield managing to have such a good game, because Amir Abdullah actually had a pretty good outing too.
Dude, I started Amir Abdullah in a 14 team.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
Team league this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was in the situation where worried about Jacobs. I went and got Abdullah in a couple of spots, and then fortunately it worked out that I was able to make sure I stuck with Jacobs, but no, good game for the Raiders in what has been a bit of a difficult season. However, I think it's been an even more difficult season, one could argue, for our snoozer of the week and potentially one of the biggest snoozers of the season, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, my friends, has not done a whole lot of scoring. And in his week 12 matchup, puts up just 8.5 fantasy points, going 19 of 35 for 142 yards, did record a passing touchdown, did not do much as a rusher. And now on the season, Curtis, there are so many jokes out there of things that have happened more than Russell Wilson throwing touchdown passes that it's almost difficult.
I've seen some of them, and they're pretty, people are getting creative with it.
It's yeah, pretty cool. They are getting very creative. I mean, just to put things in perspective here though, right? Russell Wilson only has 135 fantasy points currently. Just 8 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. It is just ugly by all accounts. And the biggest issue is I think that we were really hoping this could push some of these wide receivers forward, that this would give another offense to get excited about, but man, it has gone the absolute opposite direction.
Some interesting Russell Wilson facts, Dave, actually shares my birthday.
Nice.
Yes. I wish it was with somebody cooler. But that's fun. Did you know his son's name is Wynn Wilson, W-I-N, like winner?
I did not know that.
His son Wynn Wilson. That kid, if he has the charisma and moxie of Russell Wilson, is going to be obliterated in school as a teenager, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have no chance. Russell Carrington Wilson, man, you know, he's going to have to, he's like, hopefully, I mean, I don't like to see any NFL franchise just totally crash and burn to the level that the Broncos will, if he actually ends up being this bad, because they would have absolutely traded the farm for a franchise wrecking situation. It was bad enough, you know, what they paid, but for then for him to not even help the team be competitive, like, I don't wish that on any, you know, I guess fan club. I've been a Browns fan my whole life. So, you know, I hope that he can at least rise to the level of not harming the team, even if he doesn't end up on the, you know, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes level that I think the Broncos had envisioned when they made this deal. But yeah, man, 8 passing touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the season. And we just finished week 12. It's truly a head scratcher.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, is if you try to look through some of the advanced metrics to try to find something where you can say, all right, like, he has struggled everywhere, but at least he was good in this measure, that in and of itself becomes a bit of a chore. Has not been one of the more accurate passers, has actually been pretty much towards the bottom in arm on target percentage, has not been very good at converting air yards. The attempts per touchdown, as one might guess, have been really ugly at 43 passing attempts to every touchdown. That puts him in the range with guys like Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. It has just been a really ugly, ugly year. I think one of the interesting things is going to be, how far does he, in him, not just him, like, fall next year in ADP as we start to enter the preseason, but where do his wide receivers and tight ends go? And then, of course, we have questions about the running back situation with Javonte Williams returning. So it's going to be hard to make sense of Denver.
Yeah, it's kind of a avoid at all costs situation. Did you see who picked up Melvin Gordon today, Dave?
I did not.
Speaking of the Broncos,
I did not.
He's with the Chiefs now.
Oh boy.
he went to Kansas City, the only team that still gets to play the Broncos twice this year.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
In the ultimate, just, you know, you want to talk about like a salty move, signing with the Chiefs practice squad just to get a chance at his former team a couple times, and obviously go to the playoffs. I mean, yeah, that's good for Melvin. From a fantasy perspective, actually, I think in the long run could potentially even be an issue for Isaiah Pacheco, because I think Melvin Gordon, despite his fumbling problems, is just from a talent level by far the best back on that team. So I think he actually could even make some noise late in the fantasy playoffs. And, you know, I expect that we'll see Melvin's name in a bunch of the waiver wire articles on our site and across the industry tomorrow. You know, how to play the Melvin situation. Can you afford to stash him on your bench for a couple weeks? And would you feel comfortable starting him in the playoffs? Is going to be a fun thing to watch unravel. Other just notes from the games that I had a chance to partake in this weekend. It was awesome to see what Mike White did with the Jets, re-elevating, I guess, Garrett Wilson. And we had an Elijah Moore sighting. So, you know, that was pretty cool. Over 300 passing yards and multiple Jets wide receivers who are young and obviously, you know, were carrying quite a bit of dynasty value heading even into the middle of the season. It's nice to see that they didn't forget how to play football. They just needed some, you know, replacement level quarterback play in order to be superstars again. Those were probably my two favorite stories from the weekend. Anything else stick out to you from this weekend's matches, Dave?
Well, one thing that I thought was pretty interesting is the Rams backfield, right? Darrell Henderson gets cut.
Yeah.
And we still see Cam Akers come out, 8 rushing attempts, just 37 yards, ends up finishing with 3.7 PPR on the day. Not what you want to see if you're somebody that's been holding on. Now, Kyren Williams goes 11 rushes, 35 rushing yards. and then does get involved in the receiving game, had 3 receptions for 25 yards, finishes with 9 PPR, which I guess is respectable for somebody like Williams, but pretty interesting to see Cam Akers just completely swing and miss yet another time.
Yeah, I mean, cutting one player doesn't make another player better.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I wonder, too, how much of it really is a talent thing with these guys there, or if it's just a team situation, right?
Oh, the line is just so, it's just so right. bad. It's just, I mean, they could, you know, they would be happy, I think, if we could somehow both fit in the same uniform. Because, I mean, without doing that, you know, we wouldn't weigh enough. But I think if we could somehow... you know, get my 2 legs in one pant leg and your 2 legs in the other and figure out what to do with our arm that wouldn't be free outside of the jersey. They would take us, Dave, as a practice squad guard right now. If we could figure out how to actually physically get those movements down. I mean, the Rams, it's just bad. And you can see, you know, everyone's kind of trying to find their way off of the active game day roster now. You're even seeing Aaron Donald pop up as, you know, potential being done for the season, which I mean is smart. They should protect, you know, their high-end assets at all costs, especially the ones that they talked out of retirement to return this year. But yeah, it really is sad. And it is a reminder just how quickly a franchise that was on the edge of glory can, you know, find themselves in the dumpster.
Yeah, for sure. The only other note that I just kind of wanted to call it here too, just another player that it was great to see come out and have a great game. Brian Robinson got 18 rushing attempts, went over 100 yards, 5.8 yards per. Also saw 3 targets, converted 2 of them for another 20 yards, and had a very nice receiving touchdown. Finished the game with 20.5 points. He was one of those running backs, like Rashad White, one of these rookies that a lot of people were hoping could make a splash down the stretch. And hopefully we see that continue as we start to close out the year.
Yeah, we also saw Travis Etienne re-aggravate the midfoot. Sounds like maybe he could have actually come back in that game, but the Jags were protecting him a bit. Pretty weird game. Trevor Lawrence ends up balling out and looking like a number one overall draft pick by the end of that game. Had a fantastic fourth quarter, and the Jags won a thriller 28-27 over the Ravens. Etienne, you know, hopefully will be okay for the long run, but I mean, 0.3 PPR in such a critical spot, especially with the high stakes fantasy season being what it is, this being the final week, you know, that was a big hurt there. We saw Miles Sanders have his best game of the year, 143 rushing yards, a pair of rushing touchdowns, even got 3 receptions. And what was really kind of a surprise shootout between the Eagles and the Packers. I mean, the Packers haven't had a lot to get excited about on offense all year. End up, you know, that game goes for a 73 total, which was crazy. Jordan Love even gets in that game and has a touchdown to Christian Watson, who continues to tear it up. I mean, the NFL never ceases to amaze, Dave. So, I mean, whether it's a big performance from somebody like Josh Jacobs, who, you know, writes himself down into fantasy history, a rookie emerging, a kind of a veteran retread, having the best game of the year, injuries here, injuries there. I mean, there's always something to get excited about. And I mean, as we head into week 13, I think all eyes will be fixed on the Cleveland Browns and the return of Deshaun Watson and what he could mean to that Browns offense. And a lot of those players from a dynasty perspective moving forward, notably Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and David Bell. That is a game I will definitely be watching against his former squad in the Houston Texans, Dave. So, those are my thoughts from this weekend and kind of the tease for next week. Anything you want to send the listeners off with for this episode?
No, other than the fact that I just checked in on a dynasty team that I only look at occasionally throughout the weekend and realized that I have made a massive swing and I'm about to win my matchup. So I'm feeling good. It's going to give me good momentum as we head into our projection show tomorrow. I'm having trouble talking tonight. Tomorrow, where we will break down all of the upcoming Week 13 GLSP projections. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.